an amazing episode with Eileen Day McCusick. I have been wanting to get Eileen on for some time now after reading her incredible book, Electric Body, Electric Health. Eileen is a pioneering researcher in the fields of electric health and therapeutic sound, and she's the creator of the sound therapy method Biofield Tuning and founder of the Biofield Tuning Institute and Tuners Without Borders. She's also the author of the best-selling award-winning book Tuning the Human Biofield. It was an incredible experience to really chat to her about all the questions I had about the human biofield and how energy and information is stored in our human biofield and how healing can take place using the tuning forks. It really is quite incredible, her work, and extremely pioneering and very exciting, particularly the latest scientific study she has ongoing in using tuning forks to heal anxiety with incredible success. So we're going to be hearing huge things in the next few years from Eileen, hearing even more than we do already, and I cannot wait for you to find out more about what she does. Please listen in and let me know what you think. And if you want to connect with Eileen, please look at the show notes. Thank you. Eileen, I'm really excited to have you on. Thank you so much for coming on. I've been recommending your book to all my friends, all my homeopathy friends, everyone that's really interested in health. So I know you've written a few books, but I'm talking about Electric Body, Electric Health, which is in the background and here. Can you very briefly introduce yourself in your own words to my listeners? But I will urge people as well to go and listen to some of your other podcasts that you've been on where you share your story and how you got into this in more detail. But just for people that haven't had chance to maybe listen, just in a few words, if you could explain in your own words.
Sure. Well, I'm a sound therapist who's been using tuning forks since 1996, and just started off playing with them, exploring with them, and never dreamed that they would lead me on the long and fascinating journey that they've brought me on. I've written a master's thesis called Exploring the Effects of Audible Sound on the Human Body and Its Biofield. And then that became the basis for my first book called Tuning the Human Biofield, which is full of academic and scientific references. I really wanted to take this idea of using tuning forks in the energy field, which sounds very pseudo-scientific, and grounded in science, in physics, in science we already understand, so that it doesn't sound so airy-fairy. You know, when you hear the word tuning fork, there's just something about it that just seems, sets off what I call people's woo bells. They go, that's woo-woo. But really, a tuning fork is simply a tone generator. And it's using pure tones on and around the body to help the body to remember how to put itself in order and become more coherent. So it's a process of using coherent sound to help restore us to what I call our factory settings, which are, we're built to be in harmony within ourselves, with each other, and with our natural environment. And we're downstream of many generations of trauma and a lot of nonsense in the world, a lot of misinformation. And most of us have ended up pretty scrambled. And so this is an amazing, simple tool to help the body to remember how it's designed and to bring people into coherence. I started teaching the method in 2010. And we currently have over 3,000 people that have been through, at the very least, our first level of training. So we have hundreds and hundreds of practitioners around the world who are using tuning forks to tune people's biofields.
That's an incredible amount, actually, practitioners that you've trained. That's awesome. So someone that's completely unfamiliar, the term biofield, how would you explain that to someone that, like, the human biofield that hasn't come across that, just doesn't really understand that concept, you know, that we're energy beings, electrical beings? How would you explain that simply?
Sure. To somebody? Well, the term biofield was coined actually by a National Institute for Health panel of scientists because they wanted to have a scientific word for aura or human energy field. And so it is biomagnetic field shortened to biofield. And if you look up the definition, it talks about how it is related to the field of energy and information that surrounds and interpenetrates the human body. But what I found in my work, my many thousands of hours of exploration, bouncing sound off people, listening to the pingback, exploring the atmosphere around the body, is that our body actually has an electrical system that we're really not taught about. If anybody's read the book The Body Electric or Cross Currents by Robert O. Becker, were written in the early 80s, he talks about the body's electrical system. Then you just don't really come across it very much. Most people just don't even realize that they have an electrical system. I think everybody knows that their heartbeat is electrical or your brain waves are electrical, that your blood carries a charge, your bones are piezoelectric crystals that make electricity when you compress them, that our collagen, that our fascia are all semiconductors that are conducting light and information through us. And all of this points to there being an electric current running through the body, right? When you're alive, your light is on. And then when you die, your light goes out. What is that light? It is your body's electrical system. We also know that anything that has an electric current running through it has a magnetic field around it. And you really can't separate the light, the electricity from the magnetism, any more than you can separate lightning from thunder. It's really a simultaneous experience. And so I've adapted the term biofield to really speak to this entire system, both the electric current and the magnetic field. I really see them as one and the same. And so the energy that is beating your heart is part of your biofield.
In your book, you map, is this right? What, so where certain energy can be stored in the biofield? Can you explain that? Because that's, I mean, I found this absolutely incredible, fascinating from a homeopathic perspective. You know, our view is that a lot of disease or symptoms arise with trapped energy and it gets stuck and we haven't processed it, and you know, it can accumulate in certain organs or certain parts of the body, and we can give remedies that have an affinity to that to help shift it through. And I was seeing sort of a lot of parallels, just coming from a different perspective in your book, but so much overlap as well. And I sort of thought you've almost got a map of where this energy is stored. I found it, you know, incredibly fascinating seeing that you've done all this work, and it's, yeah, it's amazing.
Well, when I first started using tuning forks, I was only using them on and directly over the body. And I did that for 10 years and I did it as a hobby. But then in 2006, I accidentally discovered phenomenon in the atmosphere around the body. And that set off a 4-year process of discovery, where I would move a vibrating tuning fork very slowly through the atmosphere of the body and listen very carefully to the overtones and the undertones that were produced, what I was encountering. It's almost like a sonar kind of process. And what it did was it revealed this territory sort of hidden in plain view. You know, we all know that people give off vibes, and we've all gotten a good vibe off somebody or a bad vibe off somebody. But what I discovered as I was exploring from about 6 feet away in towards the body, I discovered that we actually are within a kind of bubble, that our magnetic field is shaped like a torus. It is a sphere with a central channel down the middle that runs along the spine, down between the legs, and has an outer boundary. And that sort of defines us. And what I found as I was sort of poking around in here was a storage system of memories. which was very surprising to me because, we've all been taught that our memories are in our brain, but here I was uncovering very specific memories, patterns of energy and information that, as I went deep into investigating them, actually contained stories. And it took a few years for me to really see the big picture, but I discovered that every time we feel a particular emotion, just for example, sadness, that seemed to have like a little needle in the body that was recording all of that feeling, and it was specifically off the left shoulder. So what I was finding was that I had clients who were coming in that had pain in their left shoulder, that they had recently experienced a big loss or several big losses. These things tend to come in clusters for people, and that they hadn't digested, they hadn't expressed, they hadn't integrated that. And the weight of that unexpressed, undigested emotion was actually weighing on their left shoulder. And I could hear it and I could feel it, almost like a cloud of wet sadness. Just like music seeks to evoke different emotions, I would hear those kinds of sounds in the overtones and the undertones of the fork. And stick a fork in a sad memory, the fork actually sounds sad, and sound, in a way that we would just resonate with. We would just know what that sounds and feels like. I discovered that whenever people had a tendency to always think about the future and what they had to do, and they were kind of guilt-driven overdoers or overthinkers, that they would develop issues in their right hip. That people who were stuck or mired in some kind of toxic situation that they didn't feel like they could get out of would end up with left foot or ankle issues. And this whole, what I call the biofield anatomy map, revealed itself that our body in this model is actually inside our mind. And wherever we are running in an out of balance way in our thoughts or our feelings, it would start to affect the physiology. And that this was seemed to be the same from person to person. So not only did I discover that the field was sort of compartmentalized or had file drawers, like every time you feel this feeling, the record gets put down here. Every time you feel that feeling, the record gets put down there. But I also discovered that it was timelined, because as our body goes through the movements of generating the frequency signals of these different emotions, that information would move away from us, kind of like the way hair grows away from you. So I would find information that was current or recently generated close to the body. I would find information from gestation in that membrane that defined the outer boundary of the field, just inside that. I would find the information, the story of somebody's birth experience. And it sort of became like dropping a needle on an album and reading the vibrational record of someone's life through this kind of sonic braille language that I've come to understand. So if I'm working on somebody that's 60 and I'm working with a divorce that they went through when they were 30 that was really sad to them, I'm going to find that specific memory 3 feet off of their left shoulder, and be able to stick a fork in it into the dissonance of that record and reflect that distortion back to the body. And the body does a really amazing thing. And we're basically self-tuning instruments. And a simple tuning fork provides the body with the feedback it needs to bring itself back into tune, back into order, back into coherence. And in doing this, it can really resolve a surprisingly large number of physical issues, emotional, mental. We get people out of pain. We treat people very successfully for anxiety, depression, stuckness. I say that like stuckness is one of the biggest things that I treat. And if anybody comes to you, Lisa, it's usually because they're stuck somehow with some kind of health issue that they can't solve. Or we all know that we have way more potential than we access. And a lot of that potential is actually frozen energy in your field from earlier traumatic experiences that you were unable to digest and integrate. And so this is a process of finding those parts of your life that were messy, helping clean them up, and helping restore the energy that was frozen there, that was stuck there, that was heavy there, alchemizing it back into light and setting it back into flow.
That's incredible. And I was reading your book on, I remember I was on the train on the way up to London, And I was really busy at that particular point. I was writing my book. I was like, had a million things I was trying to think about. I was having right hip pain. And I came to your book and I just read the first, one of the first things I came to about the physical symptoms was right hip pain being busy. And I thought, this is incredible because I've never had right hip pain until I was writing my book. And then as soon as I basically finished the book, the right hip pain went. So it must have been, yeah, me just being too busy, not digesting that, not taking enough rest. Do you find that, like, it's like a map? Can you read things that aren't necessarily a problem as such? You know, can you see that there's been a trauma or something that's happened, but it's perhaps coherent, so it's not necessarily needs treating? If that even makes sense, the question I'm trying to ask.
Sure. Well, oftentimes when we're coming through the field and we come into something like your alcoholic father from childhood and his bad behavior and the way that that informed you, I'll get into something like that and the person will say to me, "Well, I thought that I'd really worked through that, you know?" And my response to that is that I'm reading the record as it was laid down. I'm not reading your adult perspective that you've come around to intellectually on the topic. Like, this is the actual record of how you felt and what your experience was. Now, if somebody's already done a lot of work through therapy or through other practices, that's going to resolve faster. It's going to come into a coherent expression faster than if you'd never done any work on it at all. But everything that we've ever experienced, every keystroke in your experience gets recorded into the hard drive in your biofield exactly as you felt it. And so we have this opportunity to really listen deeply and really see and hear what it is that you've experienced. A lot of people have experienced huge amounts of trauma, and it's a real gift to be able to sit with somebody in the vibration of a particular memory and witness that with them. They don't need to talk about it. I'm gonna stick a fork in it and hear the whole story and feel in my body what they were feeling. And that degree of empathy, of presence, of compassion, of neutral witnessing, it's very validating to people to be seen, to be heard. Right? Just that witnessing alone would be of value. But then you get the added bonus of the tuning fork being like a mirror that really provides a useful biofeedback along with a steady, coherent rhythm that the body can organize itself around.
Wow, it's so fascinating. Can you explain maybe some of your more, like a couple of really, I'm sure all your cases are memorable, but are there any that stick out that might be interesting, you know, to the listeners to illustrate, you know, this magic? Because it is just incredible for people that haven't read the book and seen some of the cases, you know, that you talk about.
Well, what's coming to mind is an older gentleman, excuse me, he was probably 65, and he had anxiety and he wasn't sleeping. He had a bunch of issues, and he came in and I started working with him. And over the course of a number of sessions, I discovered that this fellow had had like multiple death-defying accidents. And he had like rolled down a hill inside of a backhoe, and he had gotten launched through the air into a tree. And he didn't tell me any of this, right? I just kind of uncovered these things in him. And over the course of maybe 6 or 7 sessions, I was able to back out of this. It's almost like pulling dents. Not all of these different things that had been informing him and completely changed his life. He went from being in, chronic pain, chronic anxiety, chronic sleeplessness, to none of that, to none of that, because his body was holding the record of all of those things, and he was trying to live his life inside this memory bank of massive physical trauma. And he'd also had a lot of emotional trauma early on because both of his parents were bad characters. That kind of set him up for it. But his whole life completely changed. You wouldn't even think it's possible to come back from all of that kind of experience. But we did. We got him to really emerge into a place of being pain-free, sleeping deeply, and no anxiety.
Amazing. And how that, like, it probably varies, I'm sure, from person to person, but Is there a typical like time scale? Like, do some people improve after a few, or can it take a, years? How long typically is this process to get someone recovered?
Well, it's both, right? I mean, if somebody comes to see me because their knee hurts, I might be able to fix that in one session and it might never come back, right? I've been working with somebody recently who's an alcoholic and just had a lot of upset going on, a lot of noise in the signal. And yesterday we just finished her third session. So what I will generally do is say, well, let's get started with three. Like, let's do three and then see where you end up. And so after this third session, I want to go back and watch the first Zoom actually, because this woman has changed profoundly, profoundly, and she's still drinking, but she has a completely different relationship with it, with herself. She's getting rid of the shame, because I was able to look at what was going on in her signal and the incredibly difficult childhood she had on, and this feeling like her whole nervous system was just on fire. It's just on fire. And she was drinking 8 to 12 beers a day, because it was the only thing that would settle her down into a place where she didn't feel that intense discomfort in her. So I was able to reflect to her, like, I totally get why you're drinking. You're using this as a solution to manage this incredibly difficult inner state that you have going on, right? Which helped to re relieve the shame part of the equation. Because any kind of dysfunctional behavior we have, if you put your own shame on top of it, you've just compounded the situation, right? And so for her, the validation of being seen and heard and understood really changed her relationship with her drinking, right? So I told her, I was like, don't try to quit. At some point, once we heal the underlying condition that's giving rise to the addiction in the first place, the addiction will fall away when it's good and ready, right? So we probably need a few more sessions for her to get to the point where she won't want to drink anymore. But her whole inner landscape changed dramatically in three sessions. Personally, I've received probably thousands of tune-ups, and I also conduct groups. And I put myself in every group that I conduct. I've certainly given many, many thousands of tune-ups. And the beauty about tuning is it's not like massage where you're like, it's all about them, really. In tuning, because you're being exposed to and bathed in coherent sound and you're really truly helping somebody, you get a tune-up too. Every time I tune somebody, I'm also receiving that medicine. And I don't anticipate ever stopping receiving sessions because one really builds on the one before it, and you just keep going. And what happens is that you feel lighter and lighter and lighter as the heavy energy in your field that's been stuck and undigested becomes freed up and gets put back into circulation. You also get more and more grounded. So it's a really interesting combination of becoming much lighter, but also much more grounded. It's just not like we're going to go float away. My fuse has gotten really, really long, like really long. It's very, very hard to rattle me because I don't have all of these undercurrents of unresolved issues that are just waiting to be triggered. They've all been really rooted out. Like my basement, my attic, every room in the house that is me has been really put in order and didn't start that way. I mean, I was a hot mess. Physical pain, emotional distress, mental anguish, relational challenges, digestive woes, poverty consciousness. I mean, I was a mess. And through all of the tuning that I received, really sorted all of that out just by getting my electrical system in order.
I really want to experience this for myself because it just sounds incredible. And you're a walking testament. You look so vibrant and healthy. And what you're saying as well about not being floating off, because that's not, we need to be grounded and in our bodies. Oh, actually, that just reminds me of that quote. I need to try and find it, unless you can remember it, about not ascending. We're basically descending into our bodies. I thought, yes, I love you, Eileen, because I totally, I'm on that same page.
Yeah, there's a lot of language We're talking about vibrations that's really kind of just incorrect when it comes right down to it, right? So not only am I a sound therapist, but I'm also a writer and a wordsmith, and I like words and using words accurately. A lot of people talk about raising your vibration, but that's not really my experience of healing. Higher isn't necessarily better, right? There's this sort of up-down hierarchy thing, like we want to go up. But technically, like we need low vibrations to sleep, right? We need low vibrations to quiet our mind, to settle us down. There's nothing wrong with low vibrations. And there's nothing better about high vibration. How do you think this makes the bass players feel? Everyone's trying to go high vibe. So what really happens as we become healthier is our vibration gets in tune. It becomes clear. We get the noise out of the signal. And as we do that, we don't ascend anywhere. We actually expand. Our consciousness, our experience of ourself expands in every direction. It goes deeper into the ground. It goes wider in our ability to have more energy, to do more things, or have more impact in the world. And there is an element of lift. Certainly, when we're happy or we're joyful, there is a kind of an uplifting sort of feeling, right? But it's not higher. We're not going higher. We're really kind of lifting up and expanding out. And this idea that we're going to ascend, or that the earth is ascending, or we're ascending to 5D, like I just don't find that useful. I don't find it useful. We're not going anywhere. We're here in 3D. We've got our feet on the ground, and let's work to make 3D better instead of feeling like we need to ascend into some higher place where, it's better there somehow or other. I think it's a cop out that makes us not kind of seize the moment right here and right now and make this world better right now in the capacity that we can. It's point on the horizon, and people are always trying to have high vibes and then beating themselves up if they have low vibes. And then they talk about things like shame being like the lowest vibration emotion, and you don't want to feel that. But it's really necessary that we feel shame, right? I spent time in Jamaica, and there's this little Rasta cafe on Negril Beach. And the bathroom there, a little rough. The toilet didn't flush. You had to like use a bucket to put it in. The lock on the door didn't always work, and the light didn't work. And this last time I went down, it was all fixed. And I've been going here for years, like 6 years, and it's always been the same. And this time I went, and the toilet was flushing, the light was on. She'd put a shower curtain, this really nice, pretty shower curtain inside the door. The latch was working. And I went and I told the woman who owns this little compound, I'm like, thank you so much for fixing up the bathroom. I really appreciate it. And she said, well, you know what? I actually felt ashamed of the fact that it wasn't good. And it was the shame of this, subpar little bathroom that drove her to improve it, right? So shame plays an important role in nudging us towards doing the right thing or not doing the wrong thing because you don't want to feel shame. People talk about hate being a really negative or bad emotion, and then they're like, oh, you shouldn't feel hate and you shouldn't feel shame. Well, you should feel every feeling that you have and not judge and label any of them. Like, I hate the nonsense that's going on in the world right now. I hate war. I hate humans killing other humans, killing children, right? I hate that. And I'm not ashamed of the fact that I hate that. My visceral dislike of the messy world has really driven me to bring tools of coherence and healing to it. So it's important, like every emotion that we feel is important. In fact, most of what people suffer from, in my experience, and Lisa, you've probably observed this too, is emotional. That we've been taught this sort of abstinence-only prescription for our emotions by our emotionally dysfunctional parents. And so we suppress all and judge all kinds of emotions. And then we're creating resistance, we're creating inflammation because we're not allowing ourselves to express our hate, or we're not allowing ourselves to feel our shame. I'll tell you what, a narcissist doesn't feel their shame. And that is what, you know, why they're defensive, why they don't listen, why we never get anywhere with narcissists. It's because shame is really uncomfortable. They don't want to go there and they don't want to feel it. But then they keep doing the same bad behavior over and over again because they're not in touch with their shame. All right. So I think it's important that we re-language all of this and make it real and give people permission to be human and like stay here. Don't go trying to get to 5D. You're here. Be here.
Yes, I want to like, yes, root that definitely. And yeah, I mean, when you take a homeopathic remedy that's the right resonance, you know, it will release emotions if that's what's created those symptoms. And, you know, you can be, well, I took a remedy the other week and I just spent the day crying, you know, after I took it because it's stuff that obviously I've suppressed at some point and needed to come out. So that's what healing looks like. And it's by thinking we shouldn't be feeling certain feelings that we block them and ultimately get sick. So, yeah,
Yeah,
I
absolutely. I've
agree.
had, I never forget the time someone came in, she lay down on my table and she said, "I know I shouldn't feel this way, but," and I was like, "Stop right there. Whatever you feel is what you feel." And our feelings are really a guidance system to help keep us healthy. Just like our feeling of touch, if something's hot, you know, you're like, "Oh, that's hot. I got to stay safe." If somebody makes you angry, it's a boundary violation. You got to keep your boundaries intact in order to remain a healthy organism. So our emotions are absolutely necessary. It's when we resist them, we judge them, or we overindulge them dysfunctionally that they become a problem. But essentially, they're just messengers to nudge us to keep us healthy.
We are so suppressed right now, well, as a society. One thing that you said in the case you were talking through with the alcohol lady that was drinking a lot, don't know if you use the word alcoholic, but she was drinking a lot. And you said by Zoom. So can you do this? I know the answer to this, but people listening, can you do sessions remotely? And how does that work? Like if you're holding tuning forks to help make the energy coherent. How can you do that if you're not in the same room as someone?
Well, it seems
Or
kind
can
of
you?
impossible, doesn't it? I mean, I certainly felt that way. People asked me for years if I could do it at a distance, and I was like, no. And then one day I tried it and discovered I could, and then blew my own mind completely. And I was like, oh God, now I have to eat crow because I was so arrogant in my assertion that it was impossible. And now I just discovered I was wrong. Well, you know, think about it. We were talking, Lisa, about your biofield and about this idea that what we call you, your memories, is in the field around you. Right? So if I'm finding you out here in the field around you, where do you end? And the answer
Yeah.
is that you don't. Yeah, we're all infinite beings. You know, we're nodes, but we actually are everywhere. We're part of the fabric, the underlying substrata of reality, which is all one thing. And I use the term ether to describe that, but some people use the term quantum, which I don't find useful. I don't use the word quantum either. But this idea that the fabric of reality is all woven from the same thing, it's ether. And that everything in the created world arises from the ether and falls back into the ether. So it would be kind of the same thing as the Akasha. Or the Akashic records, where everything that ever is, was, or will ever be, the information of that is inherent in the implicate reality. And so, if I were to pull out a tuning fork, you know, and activate it, if I tune into you with my intention into the Akasha, into the ether, I can pull you up right here. And I can listen to your signal. It's like pulling a Google Doc drive, you know, like go on the internet and pull out a document and we'll edit it together. It's kind of like that it is absolutely present and accessible and manipulable. And I do my sessions over Zoom. Mostly I'm going to do some in person, but mostly, you know, I'll just sit here and I'll activate a fork and I'll just listen to your signal. I'll tune in my antenna to your antenna. And listen to the rhythm. So, you know, in Chinese medicine, before I started doing tuning, I was always so blown away by how the old Chinese doctor could put his fingers on my wrist and be like, "Oh, you had a kidney infection when you were 21." How do you know that? Right? That this idea that our whole history is in rhythms and tonal expressions of our being, and that I can tap into that, tell you exactly what's going on. I mean, I can read people like a book. And the thing is that you can't lie to a tuning fork. You can't hide anything, because the language of vibration is so pure, it's going to reveal exactly what's going on in somebody's body, in their mind, in their spirit, because it's all tonal and it's all rhythmic. And, you know, there's a language there that everybody learns, and they learn it in time. Just like, you know, if you were to drop me in Mongolia, I wouldn't have a clue about what's going on. But over time, I would be like, that sound means that, and that sounds mean that, right? And I would start to learn the language. And it's the same with the tuning forks. You learn what these specific sounds mean, like, oh, that was a breakup. You know, this was a move. This was definitely a car accident. This is a tendency to perseverate about to-do lists. Like, it's all a language, and it's all consistent from person to person. And it's consistent from animals and plants too. They speak the same vibrational language.
I was going to ask you that actually about, so I wanted to ask, have you ever done it on animals or plants or even rocks? And does it work? And how does that work? That was one of the questions that seemed
yeah.
to do it on.
Yeah, absolutely. Animals love it. You know, some dogs and cats like will run when the forks come out, but other cats and dogs will demand to be tuned or, you know, have a weighted fork on their body. I can tune into dogs at a distance, certainly help many dogs to overcome fear of thunderstorms. I have a story about this little tree. I live in an apartment building, and we moved in right when it was built a number, maybe 6 or 7 years ago. And they plunked down this little maple tree down in the corner. And ever since that tree was planted, it's been the most miserable, woebegone little tree. And its leaves always turn in July. You know, we're in Vermont. They usually turn in like late September, October. But that one would start turning and lose all its leaves. And back in May, it was sitting out there and all its leaves were drooping. And it was just so woebegone. And I was so tired of looking at it every day, being such a miserable little tree. So I decided to bring my tuning forks out and give it a tune up. And this is right on a boardwalk and people walking by. I'm like, I'm not going to care. They're looking at me doing this with tuning forks on this tree. But I used some of my weighted forks right on its trunk, and I did a little field combing on it. And I discovered that it felt disconnected from its environment. It wasn't connected into any kind of mycelial network. It was just sort of feeling alone and isolated, and it had been traumatized through its move and planting. So I just hung out with it. I gave it love. I helped it to get more coherent. And it absolutely perked up. And that tree this fall did not lose its leaves until late October. It didn't even turn in July or August or September. And yeah. And lots of people have tuned their gardens. I have this one guy who was a marijuana grower, and he started playing some of my recordings to his plants. And even though he loved marijuana and he loved growing it, his mother never got over her disapproval, and she was always shaming him. And he was concerned that his shame was finding its way into the plant. So he got this recording I have on guilt and shame and started playing it for his plants. And he said that he and everyone else who smoked it felt like it absolutely improved the quality of the weed. So yeah, so everything benefits from being tuned.
So can people do this at home? Like, can they learn how to do it? Obviously, you know, you've said about training practitioners. So I imagine there's a lot of work to do it professionally and to be able to help others. But can you do it to some, learn, you know, to some extent at home, or is that complete no-no?
Yeah, absolutely. My first book, Tuning the Human Biofield, I lay it all out right there. And you can, you know, one of the complaints about Tuning the Human Biofield is that it doesn't have a lot of instruction in it, but biofield tuning is very simple. I know people are always asking me, well, how do you treat this? Or how do you treat that? Or what frequency do you use for this? We use a handful of frequencies. Basically, biofield tuning is a practice of you comb through the field, you stop wherever you hit resistance and noise, and then the body fixes itself, and then you move along and then you bring, and as you're going along, you're sort of freeing up energy that's stuck. So we comb through the field, we find areas that are stuck, that are noisy, wait for them to resolve, We don't have to do anything. We're like technicians. We're like, oh, wonky spot, stay here. Oh, not wonky anymore. Go to the next. And we just call them to the midline. We help to integrate the work into the midline. And then we call them and sort of move away from the body. So that is biofield tuning. You go whoop, whoop, and that's it. And that's it. It's very, very, very simple. And there's not a lot to say, but the fact that we're working in the biofield, which most people don't know about, the fact that we're working with the ether, which most people don't know about, we're working with the physics of sound, which a lot of people don't understand. Like, I had to write many chapters in Tuning the Human Biofield to frame and to give context for how and why this thing works. And so you can learn it from the book, but if you, you know, and that's for just working on friends, family, pets, self, whatever. But we do have a training program. We have in-person and online training. And it's not a ton of training. You know, you can go to, well, you went to homeopathic school. That's a big commitment. We have people who spent a lot of money on their acupuncture license who have let it go because they found biofield tuning to be more effective. We have people who've let go of their counseling licenses because they found biofield tuning to be more effective. Like, excuse me, I can't tell you how many people have said to me, this work did more for me in three sessions than years of therapy, right? It's an evolution, a synthesis of all these things that came before that I've built on and then kind of put it in together in this very elegant, easy to use system that really anybody can learn and that integrates beautifully. Like, it would integrate beautifully with a homeopathy practice. It would integrate beautifully with a chiropractic practice, massage therapy, Reiki. We have a woman who is a gynecologist who's using our scar protocol with our weighted forks on like episiotomy and C-section scars very successfully. Right, so it works great as a standalone, but it also can really enhance any other practice that you've already got going on.
That's what I was really thinking. And some of the questions I wanted to ask as well, actually, were more like for maybe the homeopaths that are listening, because I was thinking this is something that could massively integrate and benefit with the homeopathy. I see it as like really sort of they can really complement one another. And interesting, because one of the things that we find in homeopathy is quite often when we give a remedy that we think is a well-matched, what we call constitutional remedy, but, you know, a remedy that matches the individual, sometimes we find some individuals don't respond to a well-indicated remedy. And it might be because there are drug layers which need clearing homeopathically, or there are ancestral or inherited traumas, which we call miasms. And I was thinking, but you don't know that until you've already tried this, gone through the process of trying to give these remedies. It's like, oh, they're not working. There's a block. What is this block? I was thinking, I wonder if there's a way to do this where you see, is there like ancestral trauma? Well, everyone's got some, but, you know,
absolutely.
Of current ancestral trauma or like drug layers. Like, could that, can you pick that up? Like, you know, how would...
Absolutely. Well, we use the same term, miasms, to describe ancestral patterning. In fact, I just worked on somebody a few days ago who, what I've observed is that whenever people suffer from what I call a blind emotion or a reaction that comes out of nowhere, you know, kind of kerfluffly expression that then they're ashamed of, that is almost always a miasm. That it's just something that's running in their signal, that it's not really theirs. It's something that they inherited. And this particular person had a whole scarcity story that would really trigger her and get her very upset. And when I went in and listened to her signal, it was so absolutely ancestral. It was just, and it was running in the background of her own signal. Right. So there was all of this down pressure of our ancestors who really had suffered and struggled with not enough. And then because there was such a strong down pressure that the only way to counter it was with an up pressure that was hysterical. Right? And so there was like the downflow and then this hysterical upflow that wasn't even her. And so I was able to reflect those signals back to the body, understand that they were just a program basically running in the background, help to settle those down, and then amplify who she was. Like, who are you on a soul level? How can we bring your soul into the space that we just cleared out this miasm from? She had the most angelic, beautiful energy, right? So that tone and that spaciousness, that inner illumination and beauty and grace that this woman really had in her soul was able to expand out into that place where the miasmic pattern had been running and holding. I mean, so much of what we struggle with is ancestral nonsense because we're downstream of that. And this is a really effective way to get into the literal signal of that running through the body's electrical system and disarm it.
Can you see like where it comes from, if it's maternal, paternal, or how far back? Could you get an indicator of that when you are doing your work?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes very specifically, sometimes not as much. In the biofield anatomy, there are these features that I call ancestral rivers, and they are literal flows of current that run along either side of our body, about 10 inches off of our body. And when I stick a fork in those rivers right there, so the right side holds all of the ancestral information from my father's lineage, and the left side holds all from my mother's lineage. So if I'm working with somebody and I stick a fork in the ancestral river, I can hear the song of the ancestors that came before you. It sounds very different. I mean, moving along the field through your memory bank and all of a sudden hit the ancestral river, the fork will sound totally different. So for example, if your dad comes from a long line of alcoholics, you hear that. You hear the chaos, the lack of resolution. If your mom's side suffered from depression, you hear the kind of heavy undertone that is indicative of depression. And just like the rest of the biofield, if you just stick a fork in the place that's atonal, after a while it clears out. And like a lot of us inherited music that's really corrupted, right? Our files are really corrupted from trauma. And so that data stream through you is got a lot of noise in the signal, and then that informs your signal. No, it's not your fault, but it goes upstream. It goes back to the ancestors, and it goes down to your offspring. I worked with a woman once, did quite a number of sessions, and her mother just always came up like again and again and again in these sessions about how her mother had no boundaries and all the difficulties that she'd had with her mother. And I think we did maybe 6 or 7 sessions. And then she went to visit her mom. And she came back and she said to me, you know, my mom is the kind of person that she only reads like romance novels or crime novels. Like, I've never, ever seen her read a nonfiction book. And when I got to the house, she was reading a book on boundaries.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard other stories, you know, working with somebody, getting them in good order. Dad comes up a lot. And then all of a sudden, like, my mom has been nagging my dad to clean the garage for 15 years. And he just did it after that last session that we worked so deeply on his stuff. Because we're all connected vibrationally, really through an unbroken chain, right, mm-hmm. of bloodlines and information and through the ether. So we are connected. So anything you do for you, Lisa, or I do for me, is gonna affect the people on either side of us in this stream. I've certainly seen it with my own kids. I have 2 boys now who are 23 and 26. And we've done some amazing work in recognizing and healing family patterns of scrapping, right? You know how families can have these patterns of people just yelling at each other, and you get into these things that you get in with your family that you don't necessarily with people who aren't family. And we discovered, you know, both my family and my husband's family kind of come from this bickering kind of story. And my boys and I realized that these were miasmic patterns that were playing out through us, that none of us wanted to be engaging in that. And through a combination of tuning and awareness and really choosing. Like we got to the point where if like something was about to come up, we all knew it. We'd be like, we're not going to go there because we know that that goes nowhere. That's just a tempest in a teapot that makes everybody upset and it goes nowhere. And it is an ancestral miasmic pattern that we are very going to consciously deprogram and change and not have that be part of our everyday reality. And we've done that successfully.
It's amazing. I know what I'm getting for Christmas. My husband this year, I'm like, I haven't chosen what I want. I want a tuning fork without a doubt. So I just, yeah, I love the kind of simplicity as well from what you've said about, you know, people are asking for more instruction, because sometimes with homeopathy, it's like, it's simple. You just need to find a remedy that matches the individual symptoms. But then there are like 8,000 remedies. And sometimes to try and get to the one, it can be frustrating because you're like, I know there's one that matches, but you know, is it the right match? And I just love the, you know, the whole, this resonates, you know, the truth at such a deep level. So I can't wait to start trying out. Can anyone do it? Like, or is it like, am I deluding myself that I'm actually going to be able to pick one up and do it?
Yeah, everybody can. I mean, I'm sure there are some people who can't, but in my experience, you know, we've trained thousands of people. In fact, when I first started training my first group of students in 2010, one of my brothers said to me, he's like, can other people do what you do? And I was like, I don't know. I'm gonna find out. And yeah, right off the bat, people picked it up right away. And the thing that's beautiful about the biofield anatomy map is that you don't need to be intuitive. You don't even need to understand anything off the bat, because all you do is you just move the fork in slowly until you feel more vibration in your fingertips, and you kind of feel almost like it's sort of stuck. It's sort of an odd phenomenon, but you can feel it. It's almost like a magnetic grab. And then all you do is you plot that on the map. You're like, okay, you're 40 and this is about a quarter way through your field. It's off your left shoulder. So this is something that was sad when you were 10. Person be like, yeah, that's when my grandmother died, actually, and I was really close to her. It's just the map is, you know, is universally accurate for people to work with. And so that's a good starting point. And then over time, just like if you were to land in another country, you start to learn the language of the forks, you start to understand it. And then all you need to be able to tell is, like, once something resolves, that sort of sticky feeling or that resistance goes away, and all of a sudden you can move the fork again to move it to the next spot. And it's very, very simple. You know, I was healing people the very first time I picked up my forks in 1996, and I didn't even know what I was doing. And they were like, wow, my shoulder pain is all gone. I was like, wow, that's a miracle. I'm clueless. So it's the body responds so beautifully to sound.
I love that. And actually, you've alluded to the answer that I was going to ask you next. But one of the things I get asked all the time is, can homeopathy work on skeptics? And like, the answer is yes, it can. You know, the skeptic might be more likely to have their maintaining causes that they go back to, but you know, it doesn't matter whether or not you believe in it. So how would you say similarly for this? You know, if someone comes that's really skeptical, like, we know the power of intention, but if someone comes and they don't think it's going to work, can it still work just as effectively for them?
Well, the only claim that I make is that it helps you to relax. And so after any session, I'm like, are you more relaxed? And they're like, yeah. Like, nobody ever goes through a session without relaxing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that all of these places that we find stuck stuff in the field, there's a tension, an underlying tension in the body. And so with each tangle that we untangle, something in the body relaxes and you can breathe more fully and freely. And that's really what it's about, because our body's electrical system, which is the part of us that keeps us alive, right? Lights are on, electrical system's going, is running, runs on electricity. And so we can go for months. People go for months without food. People go for days without liquids. You can only go a few minutes without breath. And that is because we live in an electrically charged atmosphere and we are breathing in light. We are breathing in plasma. When your blood goes from dark red to bright red, it has light. It's picked up light, electricity, juice, and that is what you're running on. So people who get tired at 3 in the afternoon are people who are running their mental body too strong, too fast, too many thoughts, and they're not breathing. They're not breathing. So the more you quiet the mind, the more you relax the tissues of the body, and the more you liberate the breath, the more energy you have, the more you expand into your potential. So if you go through a biofield tuning session, no matter what, you are going to take some deep breaths, you are going to relax, and you're going to feel a little different. Now, sometimes people can have extremely profound outcomes. I can take somebody very high on the pain scale, 8, 9, 10, and bring them down to a 1 or a 0 in 20 minutes. Like, it can be that profound, right? Sometimes, if you don't have anything going on that's super wonky or out of balance, you might not notice much. You might not feel different, but then you might find yourself making different choices or having different opportunities appear, right? So it can run the gamut from very subtle, or I didn't really notice much, to like really profound, where people feel all this energy moving in their body and get all these insights, and whatever they're suffering from can change very dramatically. But listen, there's nothing stronger than the human mind. Right? And this is where, like, ultimately the tuning forks for me have been training wheels on how to use my mind better, more effectively, more efficiently, stop derailing myself with my own bad mental or emotional habits. Because I've learned so much being in people's fields, being in their mind, their subconscious mind, seeing all the ways that we can go out of balance and realizing, like, oh, I do that. Geez, I do that too. And it's been a wonderful mirror to show me my own inherited and learned dysfunctions and remedy those. So if somebody has made up their mind that they're going to be a skeptic and they don't believe in physics and they don't believe in sound and they don't believe in me, then I'm probably not going to do much for them, you know, because their mind is strong in that way. But most people who come are curious and open-minded, and you know, and most people who receive a session with me, I mean, at this point, 27 years, all the experience I have under my belt, I carry a lot of kick in my sessions. And even people who claim they don't feel anything, I make get them to feel that. I'm very good at making men cry, especially men who haven't cried in a very long time. I can
That's
really get in
amazing.
there into those tender spots and poke around in them and generate a release for things like
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
Well, that's incredible, isn't it? Because yeah, I mean, well, I was just saying a little while ago when I took a remedy recently and just stopped, you know, crying for the whole day. I was like, oh, it's doing its stuff. Yeah, this is it's an amazing healing response, isn't it? The emotional relief. Oh, it's incredible. Do you know what? I'm really conscious of time, and I want them to people to know like where to find more information. But maybe before we just wrap up, like, where do you think the future is heading? Because I just feel there's so little we know, like the way Western medicine is, you know, it's so archaic when the work like that you do is coming out, and it just fills me with such excitement for the future. You know, where do you feel like we're going in the new healing modality?
Well, you know, the biofield officially, like, people claim that it may or may not exist, which I think is willful ignorance, because we know that anything that has electric current through it has a magnetic field around it. People say, oh, we don't know what the energy is in energy medicine and chi and prana. They like, that's fairy tale stuff. And it's like, it's electricity. It's really, really simple. And the fact that we've had this wool pulled over our eyes and ears on this topic so successfully speaks to a very good propaganda machine that gets people to not see what's right in front of their faces and what's real. Once people learn about the electricity in the environment, the electricity in their body, their electrical system, like, once you see the light here, you can't unsee it. And everybody says the same thing, like, this makes so much sense, right? That was your experience. This just makes so much sense. There's something about it that really rings true in people once they get past that thin veil of programming that they've had layered onto them to get them to subscribe to a chemical mechanical model where you engage in drugs and surgery for your chemical mechanical problems. But biofield science is really coming to the fore. In fact, we're in the middle right now of a 3-year fully funded study with 100 participants to see how 5 biofield tuning sessions at a distance impact clinical anxiety. And we already did a feasibility study for this with 15 volunteers. All 15 people came in with high levels of clinical anxiety and had just 3 biofield tuning sessions. And every single person, the 13 of the 15 who completed the study, came out and no longer had clinical anxiety. Every single marker of anxiety went down, 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 down across the board. We have 2 published papers on that study, a quantitative one that looks at the numbers and a qualitative one that shares people's experiences of going through tuning. So this one, we were going to have a control group. It's a 3-year study. And when we complete it, we anticipate having the same kind of results that we had in the feasibility study. We're going for mainstream journals. We are seriously committed to advancing the science and the understanding of biofield medicine because it's far more elegant, it's far less invasive, it's far less expensive than conventional medicine. And don't get me wrong, drugs and surgery can be absolutely the right thing in many cases. I'm not opposed to Western medicine. However, there's plenty of room for bringing in the biofield side of things. And you know, when I look at what I've accomplished with a simple tuning fork, I think that there's still so much to discover here, especially in the ways that, you know, what happens if we pair this with a really good homeopathy? What happens if we pair this with some great chiropractic? This is all about getting people to stay healthy, to not get sick, to keep yourself in balance and live from a balanced place, to learn to run cool and smooth inside so that you don't rattle bits of yourself loose through your mismanaged, unexpressed emotions so that you can stay in the game, you know, for a long time. So I definitely think breakthroughs in understanding electric health and biofield science are very close and that they're going to change the landscape completely.
Oh, that's given me 4 chills. Yeah. When do you expect the study to be finished? Did you say, is it, and when
will
it be published?
Next year is year 2. It took us quite a while to kind of get it together, but we've just entered into the recruitment phase. And so year 3, 2025 is when we'll be writing it up and submitting it for publication. So it'll be a few years. You know, these things really do take time, longer than you want, and why a lot of people don't do research, because it takes a lot of time and it costs a lot of money. But we were very fortunate to partner with a research organization called the Consciousness and Healing Initiative. And between the two of us, we raised over $200,000 for this study through grants and donations. So, you know, we've done it before, we're doing it again, we're gonna keep on going. And I'm about to get involved with some fellows who've been doing telomere research and how telomeres are a good marker of aging. And we're going to do some investigation to see if biofield tuning has any impact on telomeres. So there's more research in the pipeline. We could certainly do a study on pain. We could do a study on depression, things that we've really observed in clinic that are consistent. I'm not going to say easy to treat, but you know, these are things where people have been told they need to be on drugs for life, and we get them off them.
Amazing. I cannot wait to see like what happens and keep up to date, because yeah, it's so needed. And I think that, you know, I'm with you, I'm not opposed to Western medicine, but we need to be integrated. And it's a broken, I mean, it's not a healthcare system, it's a sickness system, and this can really pave the way to make people healthy. Yeah, I'm really excited. Amazing, amazing work. So people that want to find out more or learn more about you, your courses, or how to book in with a practitioner or yourself, what's the best way to get in touch and find out more information?
Our website is biofieldtuning.com. We also have the biofieldtuningstore.com. I created my own line of very high quality tuning forks. If you're interested in sound healing, don't buy your forks from Amazon. The difference in quality between forks that are made in China or in India versus my forks are made in the United States. We've got nice long handles, very high quality tools that ring nice and clear and resonant for a long time on pitch. Like, there's a really big difference between cheap sound healing tools and good sound healing tools, right? So if you're curious, mine are more, you know, you pay, mine are like twice as expensive as the cheap ones, but they're more than twice as good. You know, I demand excellence from the tools that I work with. So we have a whole line of tuning forks. We've got different kinds of video courses. We've got the certification program that is where you have actual one-on-one, a number of one-on-one with a teacher. They're not just videos, like they're actual classes with classmates and your own one-on-one practicums. So we've got that. I have a YouTube channel, lots of videos on that. And actually I have this series called Sonic Sundays. I think I've got 19 of them up there, that there are free tunings in all of them. And they're very powerful, an opportunity to just get some free therapy if you need it. We also have free ones on our website, so you can check those out. And then dozens and dozens of recordings that I've made, things like an adrenal rhythm reset that many people have found very helpful. And we also have practitioners all over the world. So we have a directory. And if you want to have the experience of one-on-one, they don't have to be in your hometown, because everybody knows how to do the work at a distance.
Oh, it's absolutely incredible. Thank you. And I want to know, do you ship internationally, or is it just in the US with your
phone? No, we do ship internationally, but since COVID, shipping costs have kind of gone through the roof. So our shipping to international countries would cover the taxes, the customs, and the shipping, and it can kind of make your total seem alarmingly high. But, you know, once you've spent the money and you have the tool, you'll agree that it's worth it to have. You know, even something like our Sonic Slider, this is one of the weighted forks that I made for self-care. And this makes a great addition to a first aid kit. If somebody's got a headache, if somebody's got pain somewhere, people who have arthritis, use it regularly, tummy aches. You can slide it on your body like dry brushing and get your blood and your lymph moving. I keep one of these in my purse everywhere I go. I was at a banquet not that long ago, and the guy sitting next to me had all this pain and tightness in his arm on the side where I was sitting. And I just pulled out this fork and I did a little work on him. I did a little adjustment, and all of that pain just melted. It just melted away. And he was like, "Oh my God, my arm is all better." And that was just happened between courses. So it's a super useful little tool.
I'm going to need to get a bigger bag. I'm going to be carrying my homeopathy kit. And now... for tuning a fork as well. Oh, it's brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on. I am just, yeah, can't wait for everyone to listen to this. It's so needed. So thank you so much, Eileen.
You're welcome, Lisa. Thank you. Yeah.